if we see, if we look that from the government, from the direction of the government, an announcement is made that everybody, a disease, an illness is about to spread. For example, the flu. A flu epidemic is about to spread or is spreading. And, or let's take an example, diarrhea or any other illness or disease. And the government announces that this is a severe illness, disease, protect yourself. This is the announcement from the government, from the leadership. It's the compulsory on them to make the population aware. And what will we do when we hear this announcement? We'll all get a bit concerned, worried, distressed. I don't know if I'm going to catch this disease, or are you going to catch this disease, or who's going to catch this disease? And everyone's going to try that I need to protect myself from this disease, this illness. For example, we have a jab, a flu jab, a precautionary measure, because we don't know who's going to get the flu. Not everybody catches the flu, but we take a jab, a flu jab, as a precaution that we can get the vaccination so we can be safe from the illness. And we're all worried about this. If I get ill, then there'll be problems in those days that I'm ill, and I'll be unwell and I can't do the things I need to, etc. In the same way, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the Shafiq and merciful to the Ummah, and he was gracious and generous for us, and he was sent for us for our benefit. And in the Quran Hakim, Allah Ta'ala states, Inna Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as the rahmatul lil alameen. He came as the mercy for the whole of mankind and the whole of the universe, and especially for those with iman, with belief. Rasulullah is extremely generous and merciful. So Allah Ta'ala sent Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this way to this world, and until the day of judgment, for the people, for mankind, through Rasulullah's his example. Allah Ta'ala mentioned the Quran, Qul, O Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I sent you are Bashir, you are Nadir. So explain to the people, announce to the people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fulfilled his duty for which Allah Ta'ala had sent him, and he was Bashir and he was Nadir. And he, until Qiyamah, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for us, he delivered everything to us, the message, the full message until Qiyamah, to be useful for us to until Qiyamah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced that what things will be dangerous for mankind, what will cause you distress, what is dangerous for mankind for the hereafter, in terms of the hereafter. This is mentioned in the Quran, isn't it? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced. So what is then the role of the ummah, the nation? Just like the government announces and we react, then we save ourselves, we protect ourselves. So the work of the ummah, the believers, is that we are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. If he sallallahu alaihi wasallam states something and we know that he is merciful to us, he didn't come to pester us or to give us pain or to give us distress or troubles. Rather, there are many things we don't know. Commonly we don't know. Regularly we don't know. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us, and we realize that this is his great favor on us. He is the muhsin. He gave a big favor to the human beings, that he made our eyes open, save yourself from this time, from this bad action, from this problem. If the government announces, save yourself from the flu, the epidemic's coming, we'll say, yeah, yeah, the government, they were proactive, they helped us, and we save ourselves. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to save us from the big calamity, Jahannam. He came to forewarn us, to explain to us. And how sad that we, if the leadership of the nation announces, we start to understand and listen and take heed. And even if there's pain, we take the flu jab in the arm. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our Nabi, the greatest Nabi, and we are so fortunate, we have a link with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we bypass his advice, we bypass his suggestion, we bypass his orders and direction. This is a big, big, sad state of affairs. Very unfortunate. I'm not giving a speech. Whatever pain is in my heart, the thoughts in my heart, I'm sharing those with you. I'm sharing them with you. I'm not a muqarrar, I'm not a speaker, I'm not an alim, I'm not a scholar, I'm not a Sufi. No, I'm just a person, things have passed by me, thoughts, experiences, feelings in my heart and my mind, I share them with you, that these are things we need to think about. And totally this thought came into my heart before I came, in the way, on the way, en route here, and I'm sharing that with you. I'm sharing that with you. That if we don't explain to ourselves, each other, then we're lazy. This is a big disrespect. That Rasulullah's statement has come to us, direction, we ignore it, we bypass it. So will we be saved? Will we be saved? Maybe we'll be saved from the flu. That will I catch the flu or not? But if Rasulullah is saying that a person's going to get to Jahannam, then he's going to get there if he does that action, and no one can save that person. In no way possible. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith. So simple it is, the way of Rasulullah and brothers. That Hazrat Abu Hurairah stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that there will fitnas will come. Fitnas, trials and tribulations will come. Listen carefully, brothers. This is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can't bypass this. Astaghfirullah. Sahih hadith. Sahih hadith. Look at this. How many people know of this hadith? Have heard this hadith? If we can understand this hadith, then today the state of the ummah would not be such. It wouldn't be such. This is a punishment that we've forgotten our guide. We've betrayed our guide. We've forgotten our guide. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came, the doctor supreme to save us. We said, I said, okay, leave him, bypass him. Khair. Let's go somewhere else, do something else. So those who don't understand, if their aqal doesn't understand, they're still living. But we accept this. We accept this, that how great a statement Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making. The anqareeb, close, very soon, such fitnas will come. Tribulations, problems, issues, trials, challenges. Such fitnas will come that the person who's sitting will be better than the man who's walking. And the person who's walking will be better than the man who's jogging, who's running. These are the fitnas that will come. And at the time of that fitna, if somebody looks, if he's awake, you know, looking around, suddenly looking around, yeah, to see something, to glance at something, as a hint, just a slightly, if he pays attention, a little bit he thinks, a little bit, this is called just paying a little bit of attention, a glimmer of attention, then even that fitna will grab that person and overwhelm that person. Allahu Akbar. In other words, you have to be very careful that if you sit next to somebody who's got a flu, and then you will catch that flu, will be poisonous. If you drink the water from his water, then the contamination will come to you through the saliva. So if you knew this, you'd stop drinking the water from the glass of your brother or your wife. Why? Because the doctor said, if you drink the water from the glass of this person, then you will catch the disease as well and pass away, and you'll get the infection. So we would leave that water, wouldn't we? Or that glass. Oh, no, I need to. So for example, we should say, oh, this person, this is a sin. Don't touch this sin. There's an infection. So Rasulullah said there will be a severe infection due to the fitna. That person who goes close, goes near, then that infection would overwhelm that person. It will smother that person. It will drag that person towards it, that fitna. And then we won't be able to come out of it. Me and you, we are going to pass away. We are going to go to the hereafter. We are going to depart from this world at some stage, defined stage. We have to pay attention, deep point. At any time, we may be called from this world. Listen carefully what I'm saying. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Then what will happen? Then there are conditions that will befall us. Such a time will come. Such fitnas will come. And the position of the fitna will be, there will be such strong fitnas. And alongside that, Rasulullah said that some people will get a place to shelter, to be saved. Allahu Akbar. Then straight away take refuge and take shelter if you get that opportunity. Ah, beautiful point. Beautiful. So first point here, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, this is the reality. I'm not reading a book. I didn't read a book and come. I'm just explaining and sharing the pain in my heart and my thoughts. I didn't prepare to come to you to give a speech. I'm sitting in front of you. This is the masjid. I had no preparation. Nothing. Nothing. And Allah Ta'ala gives that inspiration of thought. So Allah Ta'ala, we are hopeful that you can explain to us how we can be saved. Do we want to be saved? No, tell me. Yes. And I'm not saying this. Who's making this discussion happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who has sense and aql, intellect, will be saved. And I'm scared. I'm scared. Otherwise we would have finished this discussion. That just this hadith, I remember mine, and that's the end of story. So who's explaining this further to me, these points? Think. Why are you thinking? Why are you listening? Who's explaining to us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us. Because we are ummatis. We are deviated and astray. So the first point clear, isn't it? That this is the generation, the day and age of fitna, and such fitnas will come. What do we say? Oh, if the water supply is cut, this is fitna. If flour is not distributed, it's a fitna. If we can't buy cloth to make clothes, it's a fitna. If the lights power is cut, it's a fitna. And we make fitnas up according to our definitions. You can call anything fitna if you want. If the gas is cut off, home, fitna. If the child passes away, oh, big fitna. If the wife runs away from home, fitna. If my husband doesn't look after me, he doesn't serve me, help me, fitna. Or if the husband doesn't fulfill the rights of the wife, or the wife vice versa, fitna. We call these fitan. Fitan. In our lifestyle, if there's an imbalance to our balance, if the business is not prospering, fitna. We define these things as fitna. Oh, someone's cast a spell on me, magic, or black magic. And we call all of these things fitna. Let's go beyond this, brothers. Rasulullah, our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, didn't come to tell us about dunya. You heard the verse that this is not dunya, akhirah, hereafter is better than dunya. Khairu wa baqa. Yes, we read this every day. So what is the announcement? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are you stuck in the mire of the world? Oh, this fitna's here, I'm not prospering in the world, less money. Today you have less, tomorrow you'll forget. This said, if your son passes away, what is the hal at that time? After a month, he forgets his son. If the wife passes away, he forgets the wife because another wife comes. If the child, after getting married, he forgets the other relative. This is all about forgetting the dunya. Does anyone remember anyone in this world? Tell me that how much you love your father, how much you love your mother. And those people whose mothers have departed, tell me how much they used to love you. Do you remember your mother? Do you? Maybe you don't even pray, read Quran, or do dua for them, or send thawab for them. Or what is the loss if that you've prayed salah? If you just say this lightly, that Allah, the salah I've prayed, that give the thawab to my mother. Is it take a lot of effort to say this? No. And how many people, how many brothers do this? After salah, did you do dua? That's it, you do dua and you run out. No recollection and memory, your mother who reared you, gave you nourishment, your mother, father who looked after you. You can't even do a light dua for them. That after praying salah, when you do dua, that okay, don't ask yourself that, but while you're walking out, say, Allah, I pray this salah, please give the thawab to my mother. Yes? And then, her work will be done. And due to her sadaqah, our salah will be accepted. Subhanallah. That we had no guarantee the salah was accepted. Allah Ta'ala may have no accepted. So today, make a solid promise that if your mother's alive, alhamdulillah, or if she's passed from this world, with the mercy of Allah, because everyone's going to go, mother and father. Mother and father. My Shaykh gave me hukam through the letter. He gave me direction that beware. How dare you? Whatever deed you do, my Shaykh said to me, Mashallah, these are the walis of Allah. They used to explain every point. And in their majalis, it was a beautiful pearl that would come. And look his vision, how far it went. Where my Shaykh's vision and sight went and travelled. And what he gave me the muqamat and the direction. But look, we consider something small. I can show you. He gave me a warning that make sure, these are the words of my Shaykh, make sure that whatever deed you perform, small, big, that Allah Ta'ala gives you tawfiq to do a deed. That don't leave it empty. The thawab, immediately send it to your mother and father. Immediately. Does a Shaykh tell this to anyone today? Ah, and if you remember me, then also send me the thawab as well. Subhanallah. This is the definition of the wali. The friend of Allah, how he gives that direction and nurtures the student. This is the Shaykh's hukum, my Shaykh's hukum. Now your eyes are opening, aren't they? Because that is the true murid whose eye opens. He hears the Shaykh and his eyes open. We are diverted, deviated, and we're asleep, and the walis of Allah make us wake up. Why do we go to the walis of Allah? Do we go there to worship them, prostrate, astaghfirullah? Because we're deviated off the track, astray, so we can come back to the path and make our habits good. If I forget, for example, I do a good deed, Allah Ta'ala gives me the off tawfiq to do good deed as I'm walking. I say, oh Allah, I made a mistake. Allah, this tawab, give this to my mother and father. And give it to my Shaykh as well. So that they, the people who passed away, they, mashallah, get the rewards. And we read Quran so regularly, and we say, oh, please Allah, accept my Quran, and we say this and we leave. That's not good enough. This is not sufficient. Whichever majlis you are, whatever deed you do, this just is to the side. Alhamdulillah that my mother and father may they be happy with me. What a great point. And the Allah Ta'ala says that I become pleased with this action. So what was I speaking about? I was speaking about the hadith. This hadith, the look now. Nabi Al-Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he pulled us together, gathered us together. He explained to us first about fitna, that fitna, there will be fitna. You think that the problems of the world we have today, every day, are fitna? This is not fitna. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the real fitna is the fire of Jahannam. I came to save you from the fire of hell. About which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke that this is fitna. The fitnas that lead, the actions that lead to Jahannam. Who will go to Jahannam? Who wants to go to Jahannam? He wanted to save us from Jahannam, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what is fitna? Not this fitna of the world where we have problems and issues. Fitna is when a person loses iman. Loses belief. He thinks he's a person of iman, but he doesn't have iman. People call him Haji Sahib. Haji. They give him titles. They give him higher rank status in the world. They say he's got ilm, he's got knowledge. He's Hazrat, he's a Sheikh, he's a Sufi. But he has lost iman. This is fitna. To lose iman, this is the biggest fitna. This is the biggest fitna. And this is what Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah SAW is mentioning. That very soon such fitna will come. Such fitnas will come. Those conditions will come. The environment will come around us. It will smother us. It will overwhelm us. And it will drag us towards the hellfire. We cannot understand that's happening. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this. You won't even realize that you are going into the hellfire. Husnul Khatama. Husnul Khatama. We will be devoid of the iman at death. The rust will come on top of our iman. Halal and haram, differentiation will finish. There will be a weird situation that will overwhelm a person. Weird situation. And we don't even know this. This is the day and age we're in. And I can analyze this and you can analyze this. We're all together. We can say this. The person sitting is better than the one who's walking. And the one who's walking is better than the one who's jogging, running. And yani, such a position will come. That in any situation, a person, an individual will not be able to look after himself. Himself. In any position what he's in, he cannot secure himself. This is how bad the storm will brew and spread. But we are eating, drinking, merry, etc. But in the iman situation, a person will be in danger. He will think he's got promotion, he's got prosperity, but iman will have drowned. Iman will have drowned and been wasted. I'm trying to explain this to you, that what is the meaning of fitna. So what is fitna? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the biggest fitna, the biggest fitna. And these words, note these brothers, note these points. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to save ourselves from fitna. Otherwise, there is no guarantee for tomorrow. That will we depart from this world with iman or not? And reality, 100% I'm saying this now, that the person who doesn't accept these words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cannot depart the world with iman. He cannot depart with iman. If Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated something, it will happen. It is fact, it is reality, it is history. What are the hadiths that tell you what happened and how it happened? When Rasulullah SAW has said something, A will happen. It will happen. And if we bypass this hadith and reject it, we don't pay attention to it. We don't give it the focus it needs. And there's fitna. And Rasulullah SAW said that fitna, we think fitna is money, shops, business, children, family life. No, that's not what we will lose. We will lose iman due to the fitna. So the people of iman, those people who have a link with iman, with what? Those things that are linked with iman, I won't go into detail, mashallah, you hear these things regularly. Those actions and consequences that have a link with iman. And the biggest thing is the place where I'm sitting now, the masjid. Does masjid have a link with iman? It does, doesn't it? Quran has a link with iman or not? It does. Sunnah Rasulullah, does it have a link with iman? Of course it does. Say, does it? It does. So now you understand automatically what I'm saying. That those things that have a link with iman, actions, places, items, they will be finished, wasted, they will wither away, they'll be diminishing. And the person will think he's a person of iman, of belief, and he'll make his own status and pedestal upon which he will be standing and saying, this is the standard of my iman, and I'm fine. But this will be such a day and age that will come when the fitnas are there, that person will be in danger with relation to his iman. And may Allah Ta'ala not allow that the maut, the death comes in that situation. The hadith said, that's the biggest fitna. Hazaqab bin Ayaz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu stated, sami'ta Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani he said, I heard Rasulullah sallam say this. Look how the explanation comes in there. First fitna was defined. After fitna, Rasulullah sallam said, what's the biggest fitna? With relation to iman. We have to become alert. Alarm bells need to ring. The biggest fitna will be what? That things will drag a person's iman towards the hellfire. Yes, so he will even pay attention for a few seconds and know what's happening. But his fitna, the fitna will devour his iman. So Rasulullah said, and this sahabi now saying, sami'ta, I heard Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam state, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ fitna, that there's no ummah upon whom the fitna didn't come. Rasulullah SAW said this, that on every ummah, previous nation of the Nabis, the fitnas came. Fitnatul ummati, but my ummah's fitna will be the biggest ummah. And what will be the biggest fitna? Mal, al-mal. Al-mal, hay. Subhanallah, dunya, money, wealth, pound, riyal. This is it. Rupees. That's it. We'll run after all of this, and this will be the biggest sign, and a person will be drowned in al-mal. The biggest fitna will be al-mal. Who's saying this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That whichever person you see who's drowned, don't trust that person in anything. Don't trust a function, because a person's drowned in fitna. He's in fitna. That the surrounding around him that he's made, the artificial surroundings, like inside, internal is bitter, and on top is sugar-coated. So the person, to satisfy himself, he's got a sugar-coated life. If he wanted to save himself, he wouldn't have the fitna. So if he's got the fitna, then who can save that person from fitna? from the destruction, the consequence of the fitnas in his life? Al-mal. Al-mal. And why is Rasulullah ﷺ defined this as the biggest fitna? Al-mal, wealth. Because due to mal, wealth, which is the biggest fitna which will come. Because it will be the differentiation between halal and haram. Because the foundation of our deen is a rizqi halal. That the morsels we eat go into our body and convert it into ibadah, worship. It creates the blood and the flesh and makes the body, gives the energy. So once in the life is enough that if a person reads one salah with halal, you see the effect of where that goes. And if a person eats haram, musal, and you can do hajj and umrah all life long, have a long list and stacked up hajj and umrah, nothing, he's got sugar coated ibadat. Al-mal is the biggest fitna. And this is the foundation of our deen, al-mal. And Rasulullah said, Rasul fitna. This is the foundation of fitna in this day and age is al-mal. And the person you see who's drowning in the love of dunya and al-mal, then he is immersed in the fitna and he's destroyed. So I'm just giving you the summary of the ahadith here. So we have to pay attention. Focus, go into detail. So mal affects our salah, hajj, fasting, all things. If our earnings are haram, wealth is haram, then the book of deeds is finished. It's wasted and the person doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand, he will never get aql. That how can I say this is bad? How can I leave this haram? I'm drowned in it in al-mal. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi has announced that every ummah, previous ummah had a fitna. But the fitna of my ummah, the person who will lose out from my ummah, who will be destroyed, the person who will sell his deen, who will sell his iman, who will leave this dunya without iman, will be the person who sold his iman for al-mal, for money, wealth, dunya. Let's go next step now. What a beautiful statement of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he's explained both these things. What did he say next? He didn't leave the ummah without the solution. He said, whenever, wherever you see the shelter, refuge, then straight away take the refuge. What does this mean? That there is a shelter. There is a solution to be saved from this fitna. To take your iman with protection from this world, to depart from this world, die with iman, there is a shelter. There is a shelter. There's protection to protect iman. And when you see that shelter from far, that you see the light is glimmering, like you're in the desert or in the village countryside, you're looking for something, for life, for you're in a journey in the desert, in the countryside. And I've traveled, you know, when you're traveling in the desert and far away on the horizon, you see the wavy motions, you think it's water. When you get there, it was just the waves of the heat, the dust and the heat emanating from the crust of the earth. And you think it's water from far away. So in reality, when you see a light from far away, a person runs towards it in the darkness. And in the same way, Rasulullah said, when you see the light, the glimmer of hope, and amongst this fitna, even if it's a very dim light, wherever you see it, it's lit. Everyone, don't think it's reality. When the light is there and you see it, what did Rasulullah say? Straight away. What? Take the benefit of that. And the person who goes into the shelter of that light, he will depart from this world with iman. So come with this niya, that I'm stuck. How do I get out of this? Have that niya that I want to save myself. I want to save myself. Not that, oh, I'll just take the light and carry on my ways. No, these are two separate points. You understand? So if you come into that shelter and say, I'm protected, I'm going to carry on doing the bad things. I'm going to extremely do the bad things. So one thing is you come into the shelter and you carry on with the sins. No, then you're destroying the shelter. But if you come into the shelter with this niya that I want to save myself from the fitna and I'm not saved, and I take this shelter and I want to take refuge and save myself, then that person will be saved. Very fine points in Islam, brothers. Very fine points. And we take everything externally and face value, but they're very fine points. Every dhikr is not the same, is it? Every majlis is not the same, is it? Every sohbat and company of the wali wala is not the same, is it? No, first you have to make niyyah that I have come here for this reason. I've come to this company for this reason. Then Allah Ta'ala puts the effect into that practice. Otherwise, if you've got the wrong niyyah, you can sit all life long, Allahu, Allahu dhikr. But you will come as a monkey and stay as a monkey. How will we come as animals and stay as animals? But if we come with the niyyah that I want to correct and align my connection with Allah and His Rasul Sallam, Allah, I raise my hands. I want to save myself from the bad effects of dunya. I'm drowned in the dunya, in mal and orat or woman or mal. I'm drowned. I'm getting destroyed. Allah, I want to take the refuge in your shelter to be saved straight to Allah Ta'ala's mercy and rahmah. What do? We come to the shelter. Allah, I'm taking the shelter so that people can call me deen dar on the path of Islam and I carry on with my bad ways. Who's going to save us? We're not going to be saved. So first make niyyah. You've come to save yourself. The fire is burning. Jahannam is ready. And we're about to go into the fire. And we want to save ourselves. And either we want to keep on running into that fire, or we want to run away from the fire. Allah is Qadir. What's the sign? That if there's a fire burning, and you want to save yourself from the fire, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala has given a hint, direction, that Allah, there's no way I can save myself, I'm going to the fire, you're the one to help me, please Allah save me from the fire. Then Allah Ta'ala will make that fire cool for you. Cool. Allah will save us. Why? Because asal, Allah Ta'ala is looking for niyyah. Do you want to save yourself? Do you want to save yourself from the punishments? Do you want to become good and a good human being? So a person who wants to save himself and become a good human being, then he should take the shelter that will save him from the fitna. And this shelter will continue till Qiyamah. That can save us all from the fitnas of al-mal and the world. And Allah's Nabi says, what is the shelter? Is the Ahlul Dhikr. The Ahlullah. The people of dhikr, the people of Allah, the company of the wali of Allah, the majlis, the gathering of the wali of Allah, and the dhikr of the wali of Allah. This is such a great shelter, a strong shelter. In the hadith, Rasulullah stated that you should keep running to seek refuge. All the fitnas are running after you, behind you, the sins. And all of the destructions run after you. You want to save yourself. I told you, didn't I? You make a niyyah, Allah, I want to be saved, Allah, I want to be saved, Allah, take me out of this, I've drowned. How do I get out? There's fitna. And he admits there's a fitna. And we don't make this niyyah. Oh, where's this? What difference does it make? What will happen? What's happened? It's okay. Who said I have to do this? Oh, I'm forced to do this. We say this, don't we? But if you accept the fitnas that are around you, around us, Allah, I'm doing bad. I'm not a good human being. Allah, Rasulullah's blessed statements have been mentioned and I accept them as fitna. What he said, I want to leave them. I want to end these bad actions. So when that person runs away from the fitna and he runs to the shelter, then Allah's Nabi said, let me tell you, a fort, a castle, that when you go into that castle and fort, no fitna will be able to catch up with you, and that is dhikr Allah. Dhikr Allah. Yeah? Do we understand this point? Allah Ta'ala, may He save us from the fitna, and may Allah Ta'ala give us death with Iman. Brothers, this is essential for us to understand. We have to practice this solution. We have to think about this. Ponder over this. Reflect on this. Analyze on this. That have we run into the shelter? Have we grabbed the protection of dhikr of Allah? Have we sat with Ahlullah? I'm just explaining, discussing generally, you're all friends, we're all friends, that if we didn't come here to this masjid, then we wouldn't know about dhikr, would we? SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. That what is dhikr? What is hasbunallah? La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. How do you recite? How do you do tasbih? We will know. I'm just asking for forgiveness and saying this, that if I went Makki Masjid, who'd be doing this then? Now, no, we'll be doing it now, would they? In Zakri Masjid, it wasn't there. It's not there. 35 years, 40 years, brothers, no, there was no dhikr. But Allah Ta'ala prepares. Allah Ta'ala sends that blessing. Allah Ta'ala has promised that until Qiyamah, the whole of Bolton dhikr is reverberating and circulating. And Allah Ta'ala has given a system that this is a shelter. This is the protection. Dhikr of Allah, gatherings is a protection from fitna. Allah Ta'ala wants to save the whole ummah. Rasulullah said, save yourself. Wherever you see dhikr, find it. Seek the shelter, refuge. So the announcement's been made. So in the whole world, even today, now, such a family I met, the tears came from my eyes. That subhanAllah, no child, nothing. From a place they said, your dhikr that has saved our children, your dhikr. This is the shelter. Where am I? From Rasulullah's blessed statements, those statements that have been made by Rasulullah, that is the inscribing on the rock. If Rasulullah said this is the shelter, refuge, if you get it, then straight away go into it, into that fort and castle, and that's prepared. So today, the dhikr we do, you think that only us are doing dhikr? The whole world, people are sitting and listening. There are thousands of people listening. Our majlis in Ramadan, 22,000 in one majlis. 22,000, 25,000 I've seen. In 1 week. In the whole Ramadan, then that goes to hundreds of thousands. So men and women, so they statues like us, their idols are like us. No, they've taken the refuge, the shelter in the whole world. Look, there is badness around the world, there's darkness. You go to this place, the Islam tells us, don't go here. So Allah's Nabi says, fine, go around the world, but take the shelter, seek refuge, protection, go everywhere. The whole world is for us, human beings, world, countries, everywhere we should go, spread goodness, Islam. We should spread around the world, in the countries of the world, with peace and aman and a message of sukoon and sakina and satisfaction and Quran. The world is for humanity, social intercourse and love and interaction and the message of love and brotherhood and to get away with all the bad concepts and misconceptions about Islam. So Allah's Nabi, Allah Ta'ala has given us direction, go everywhere. So we can share with people the basis of life and the reason of life and the objective of life. So we can demonstrate us al-Islam and be good Muslims and nobody will hate us then. Nobody will hate us. So Allah Ta'ala has prepared this. Allah has given us technology in the whole world. In Ramadan, people used to give dua. The Hazrat is subhanAllah great. That such a time we have a dhikr of Allah that we couldn't even think and imagine. So for them it's very easy. So mashallah, 24 hours you run after me and you're stuck to me. Then what a great favor of Allah Ta'ala on us. On Asr. Is there any loss? We've forgotten our difficulties in Ramadan, the majalis after Asr. What a great majlis after Asr. What a gathering it was. Isn't it? And those messages that came, and those people who understood, who did amal, then they sitting, they reached into paradise. Just by sitting in those gatherings, they reached into paradise. So this is the message. We have understood the shelter, the refuge, and I ask for forgiveness. But in the whole world, a person enjoys life, does tawbah, repents and asks Allah for forgiveness and sits in dhikr. And if they're sitting in front of that person, if they're sitting in front of the person who's teaching, they don't learn dhikr from him. So people around the world are joining the majlis and joining, taking part and benefiting. And the people here physically, they don't want to learn. They don't come and ask to learn. Shaitan has shackled them with the chains. So do we accept that this is fitna? Is this not fitna in the dunya? If this is not fitna, then what is fitna? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given a solution. Come out of the fitna. Go to dhikr of Allah. Do dhikr of Allah. Go to the Ahlullah. Go to the gatherings. We said we don't want this. So brothers, this is the day and age of fitna. Nothing will be saved. This is the best solution. Ahlullah, the people of Allah, and the dhikr of Allah. This is the solution. Their words, the walis of Allah, their words, their direction, their amal, their action, to understand this and to accept our mistakes upon our mistakes, there's no guarantee of life. No guarantee of life. Allahu Akbar. There's no guarantee for anybody. The whole fitna of this generation, how can it affect us? Doesn't matter what happens in the world, if we take the solution, there's no effect on the Muslim. The person has in his hand the Quran. He has dhikr in his life, then he lives his life beautifully. Oh, this has happened, that's happened. It's alright. No effect to me. I'm happy. I'm just immersed in my life. Alhamdulillah, there's no effect to me. No effect. It doesn't affect me in any way at all. So shelter, refuge, protection. Take the shelter, take the refuge and enjoy the life in the whole world. Enjoy that. There will be no effect on us. Negative. So should we do dhikr or not, my brothers? Yes, we should do dhikr. And with this niyah, the niyah that I've told you, that Allah Ta'ala, may our death come with iman. And the accounting for our deeds we'll have to make. We should have pain and regard for this. The difficulties that will come. The problems that will come. And the du'as that Rasulullah made for us. And the direction he gave to us. Just ask Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. How Rasulullah cried in the night for us. He woke up the nights until his last moments. He said, Allah save my ummah. Ya Allah save my ummah. And then I'm happy. Ya Allah save my ummah. He had so much love and affection. Is there anyone like this in the world who has affection and pain and love for the ummah? Could there be any muhsin who did favors for us like this, and we leave his direction and words? Never. May Allah Ta'ala give us all death with iman. Ameen.